It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. I am Jackie Hahn, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we'll be discussing ghost investigations with our special guest, Jane Doherty. Please join me in welcoming my co-host, starting with Maureen Halloran. Hi, Maureen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you very much, Jackie. And how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
No, yes, of course I do. Yes, I'm an intuitive, clairvoyant psychic. We are all psychic. And I work with tarot cards, and also I have all the C's going on. And I'm not going to list them because they're so long, but clairvoyant, clairaudio, I smell, I feel, I do all that. And I'm very objective with my readings, and I take pride in that. And I help people help themselves, and I focus on all the, you know, relationships. I'm real good on business ventures and enterprising things, everything like that. And I love my work.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I didn't introduce myself. Sorry, I am Jackie Hahn. I am an angel reader, and I work with the angelic realm to bring in messages from the angels. You know, and it's more than that. I bring in a whole variety of information into my readings to really help identify, you know, any issues that are going on, anything that's getting in the way, you know, whatever beliefs or blockages are preventing things from showing up, because quite honestly, we really can have whatever it is we choose. And I bring that through in my reading by helping to identify, you know, what it is and ways to work through it. So it's a very empowering reading. And I also, as I was saying, I tap into the energy of the angelic realms for compassion and support. So it's a very comforting reading. It's very straightforward. But it's filled with a lot of information. So I didn't mean to, I jumped right in. So I just wanted to share that about myself. And thank you, Maureen. And I'm going to just move on here to our next co-host this evening, Steve Frampton. Hi, Steve. Are you with us this evening?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Jackie. I have a cold, so please excuse my voice, but I'm happy to be here on the show and excited to learn all about ghost investigations.
Well, you can't tell with your lovely accent, so you can certainly get away with the cold.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. Well, it's wonderful to be here. As I said, my name is Steve Frampton. I am a psychic medium, and I give readings on Psychic Access. And I work directly with spirit, channeling evidence of the afterlife, and also providing guidance for any questions that clients have. I'm very excited about the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve, for being here and for sharing that. Allura is also one of our co-hosts. We're having a little technical issue this evening, so as soon as we get her on board, we will have her introduce herself. So with that being said, I'm going to just jump right in and share a little bit about our guest tonight, Jane Doherty, which I'm very, very excited about. Jane Doherty was named one of the top 20 psychics by Dr. Hans Holzer. She starred in TLC's Dead Tenants and in a DVD series, Jane Doherty Investigates. Excuse me, she was the president of the Jersey Society of Parapsychology for more than 10 years and has been doing ghost investigations since 1990. Her ghost investigations have taken her to such notable places as the Lizzie Borden House in Massachusetts, the Palace Hotel in San Francisco, the William Heath Davis House in San Diego, as well as the proprietary house in New Jersey, which is the only original royal governor's mansion still standing in the U.S. today. She is the author of the book Awakening the Mystic Gift. She's been featured in such publications as the New York Times, the New York Post, Woman's World Weekly, Mysteries Magazine. Jane has been heard on more than 200 radio shows, including Coast to Coast and the X Zone radio show. She's appeared on Fox Network News, Reuters News, CNN, and The Today Show, and many others. Jane is a caretaker of the ancient crystal skull Maya. To find out more about Jane and her work, please be sure to visit her website, Jane Doherty, DOHERTY.com. And please, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so please be sure to have your pen and paper handy. And if you were unable to catch our show last week on The Afterlife with Pamela Heath last week, you will find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible. So please be sure to include others in our show. And I'm really excited to announce that we are now simultaneously broadcasting the show on People's TV Network. So with that being said, I still have my co-host on the show. Are we ready to bring Jane? Okay, let me just jump in then. And with that, it is an honor for me to have with you on our show tonight. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Let's hope the technical issues are working.
Did you hear me?
It's going to be a great show. This is such a fascinating subject, Jackie. I can't wait. And she's got much expertise.
You know, the people in the chat room on the Psychic Access Talk Radio side, PJ and Noah, our chat room's not working very well. We're not able to communicate with you, sorry, but we are here with you, just so you know.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So we're going to bring our guest on the line. I believe she's with us. Jane, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
Great to be on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks.
So, Jane, I'm more than halfway of reading through your book, The Awakening the Mystic Gift, and I love how you share your journey of opening, you know, the psychic doors and the things along the way of what's been going on for you. Can you tell us what prompted you to write the book, Jane?
What prompted me is that I wanted people to understand that this was not just a gift for a few select people, that we all have the ability, and I personally feel that this is given to us by God, and it was something that we were supposed to tap into so that we make better decisions and that we have guidance in life so it goes better. So my hope was to motivate people to realize that this is something each and every one of us has.
And how is that, have you were able to receive a lot of that feedback from people that was the way that they were able to be helped through your book?
Yes, I've gotten a lot of comments from people because they are saying that they've been helped by it. They've been able to understand. I think it put pieces together. People have had experiences, don't quite understand what psychic ability is or even to recognize psychic ability. As a result of the book, they're beginning to recognize their own ability. And that's what's good. And I know I've had a lot of people tell me it seems to be after Chapter 5, when it's the chapter on dreams, people start to have dreams and they start to get psychic visions. So it's been interesting to hear these comments.
Yeah, I think I'm, like I said, I'm halfway through it, so I'm not sure if I got up to the dreams. I may be there, but it's a fascinating book, and I really wanted to share that with you, and certainly for the people listening, Awakening the Mystic Gift, you know, which they can find on your website. It's a wonderful book, Jane.
Thank you.
So we are going to, not we, you, of course, will be sharing about ghost investigation. So I'm going to jump right in. Could you tell us what is a ghost? How would you define that?
Oh, okay, it's a good question. The way I would define it would be a part of the energy that lives on once the body is no longer there. So that, to me, is what a ghost is. I think that when I began years ago, we tended to call spirits ghosts. But I think today we kind of make a difference where you think of a ghost as a spirit in a haunted house, and then you think of spirit, you refer to it as probably a loved one, you would think of as spirit.
Right. So when you connect with people who've passed over or are in that place between, ask it differently. So what realm do ghosts hang out in? If that's even a question.
Okay. that's an interesting question because I've never had to answer that. The realm would be the other dimension. It would be if you're dealing with a ghost that is stuck here, then you would be at one dimension. Then if you have a spirit that actually is hanging around a house simply because they're visiting and reliving memories, you would be at a higher dimension. If I'm doing a seance and I'm making contact with spirits of loved ones, I'm further in it. I'm deep in it, is the way I would explain it.
Oh, okay. I guess what I was alluding to, if like when you were saying with your seances, so I'll go from there, is connecting to loved ones.
Yes.
And that's what I was...
So yes, our in loved seances, ones... that's what I'm doing. I'm focusing on the spirits of the loved ones assembled in the circle. When I'm doing a ghost investigation, I'm walking through a building or a house that is has having spirit activity in it.
Okay. So, the ghost investigations. How did you get started? Was that just the next progression of your journey?
Well, no. Actually, what happened, I was vice president of the Jersey Society of Parapsychology at the time, and someone came to the society to a meeting who had a problem with ghosts, and there was nobody who wanted to go out, and so I had no dealings before this with ghosts. But I said, well, I'm psychic. I will go. I had to help the person. And that's how I got involved.
So what happened then with that investigation, if you could share more about that?
Sure. That first one was in Whippany, New Jersey. And it was interesting in the sense of what some of the activity is they would find a door that would be completely unhinged, or it would be hinged back, only opposite to the way the door was, up in the attic area. Then they would have the dishwasher go on, or the washing machine go on, and yet it's not plugged in. They would have that type of activity go on. When I did go and I did the investigation, I think that was my first experience with a ghost. And I was standing there, I took my girlfriend with me, I said, she came with me, and from that door in the attic where it would be found, you know, off or reversed, a cold rushing feeling went right between us. So I knew what I had. So the way I dealt with it at the time was I went into a trance in order to try to communicate with the spirit. at that time, who did come through was actually the woman's husband who was deceased. And I was seeing him in a plaid shirt, in suspenders, and I was trying to explain this to her, and apparently she had visions of him. I did not know that. Mm. She didn't think it was her husband. But there was more than just her husband there. What also was there was a spirit that was invited by the daughter from a store that she was working at that was going to be demolished. And she knew there was a spirit there. And so she invited it to come at her house. But the problem is that turned out to be a negative spirit in the sense of he had committed suicide in life.
Oh.
And so there was, and whatever she was doing, I think she was trying to do rituals, she was exploring, and you know, this goes back a number of years, it goes back to the mid-80s, so she was exploring, and then the activity just got greater and greater, and I had to go back and quiet everything down, and try to get rid of him from what she had done. So that was my first experience.
Wow,
in the spirit world.
That must have been quite an experience. So you went back, like you said, more than once to clear up this. So did you find each visit after different, or did you keep notes? Like how did you, or just intuitively you knew what to do? I guess I'm just wanting to understand kind of the process.
I had no experience in the ghost world at that point. It's like I relied totally on my psychic ability. And my goal was to help the person. She had a problem, and I had to figure out how I was going to help her. And that was, you know, to get rid of the spirit. I was able to communicate and also gave the girl, I had to emotionally diffuse the girl. Mm. Because through her emotions, she was only creating more and more for them to be able to use. So I had to get it completely calm. And I think at that time, I actually did a quick hypnosis on her in order to get her to release the bond that she had created with the spirit. And I had to separate that in order to get the situation calm. And that's what I did.
Oh, okay. So that's actually very helpful. So it's not just really dealing so much with the ghost slash spirit there is, but helping the people, like you were saying, this woman who brought it into the home.
Oh, absolutely. And because she actually formed an emotional bond with it. So she didn't want to let it go, but at the same time, she was creating more and more with it, and the situation was getting out of hand. The activity.
Wow. So she invited, like you were saying, she invited that spirit in, and that caused much more disturbances. So how what would be, you know, kind of the next thing that happened? She was able to let that go?
She was able to let it go. By my hypnotizing her, I was able to create that separation, and then I gave her instructions. I had her put sea salt. I put the sea salt. I smudged, and I gave her suggestions because her emotions is what I had to take care of. So I did some emotional counseling there to get her back on track.
Oh, okay.
It was a very interesting case in how it just didn't involve the father who was there, but it involved the spirit that she invited. So the first time, I received the father. The second time, I had to go back because it was something else that was there.
I see. And so
like
from
candles,
that experience, then
the
ghost investigation just continued. There were other, perhaps, people who were seeking your services?
Yes. At that time, that was my first one, and I was happy, okay, I took care of it. And then what happened is I actually was contacted by a TV show. It was the Home Shopping Network at the time. And they wanted to do a piece on the paranormal, parapsychology. So I gave them a couple topics. They chose the two. They chose, I did a past life regression on the man, and they also wanted to do something on the ghost. So we went back to that house in Whippany for me to go over what had happened. But then what they wanted was a place that was currently haunted. And that's what brought me to the Spy House in Port Monmouth, New Jersey. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Spy House in Port Monmouth. But it was a very haunted place. And I had never been there. Then I went with TV cameras on me. And so I just had to do the investigation walking through. And what had happened is we first thought there was a spirit in the room because we heard this rustling sound. And it was really funny, and they got this on camera, and what it was a mouse running along the edge. So it was funny. But throughout the, we went through the different rooms. But what was interesting is we were inside looking for a spirit. We were not able to get one on camera. But my mother, who was in her 80s at that time, was waiting in the car for me. I took her, for a ride for the day. And when I finished taping, I went out there together, and she said to me, she had a very funny experience. And I says, what? And she goes, well, there was this woman staring out to the sea. And she goes, I got out of the car, and I went towards her, and I just started to pray because I thought she was going to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And she goes, but then I went back in the car because I was afraid to leave your car alone. And she goes, then she disappeared. Now, I don't know what happened to her. I says, well, what did she look like? And she described her as she had funny clothes on. She goes, I've never seen those clothes before. And she described her as having her hair tied back with this ribbon and a white blouse with billowy sleeves and a long skirt down to the floor. And then she has a bonnet on her head. So I said to her, well, Ma, you just saw the spirit of Abigail, who I knew was the spirit that was at the Spy House. And of course my mother, who didn't believe in any of this, adamantly said, there's no way I'm going to find this woman if I have to go on every house on the street. And I laughed, and she could not of course find the woman, and Gertrude at the time told her exactly who it was. And unfortunately every time I took my mother there, she would have an experience.
Right. Oh, that's so funny.
But it was kind of fun for me because my mother didn't believe in this, and she didn't know why I was doing any of this. But then, over time, she had experiences, so she then had to believe.
Right. Jane, I'm going to just ask you to hold on a second here. We are going to be bringing Alora on. She was one of the co-hosts that we didn't get to introduce earlier, so just wanted to let everybody know that she's
your call will not be completed because the party you are trying to reach is not accepting calls.
Okay. Alrighty, Jane, you still with us?
I am, sure.
Okay. Not sure what happened, but anyway, she will be joining us in a little bit.
Okay.
So that's great. I love that story, and and what you're sharing with us. I guess your mom now has some more understanding of what you do. What has she shared with you in regards from that point on?
Well, she began to believe because of those experiences, but I had told her all along because she had experiences. She had seen, when my uncle died. She saw him by the car at the moment that he died, and then we found out 15 minutes later. So she had experiences, but it was very hard for her to understand what this was. But through these experiences, she began to accept it. But she was also funny because at the time, I was doing Ghost Force there. And there was a gentleman who really used to, he didn't believe. He was part of the society there. So he was giving my mother a really hard time one night during the ghost tours. So she said to him, she goes, I hope one night when you're here and you're alone, you see the ghost and it scares the hell out of you. So he just kind of laughed, no way is that going to happen. Well, about 2 months later, I was doing a seance and this gentleman was present. He wasn't in a seance, but he was in the back room. So the seance finished, and it was maybe about 12:30 in the morning, and he went out to get his car. And then people came in running for me to go out there because he is in a state of shock. So I go to him, and he's staring out his truck window. He wouldn't even look at me, and he explains to me what happened. He saw three children playing behind the spy house, and he was yelling at them to get off the property, and they wouldn't pay attention. So he got out of his truck. He walked over to them. They actually circled him playing as he was yelling, and then they just dissipated all at once.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was in total
so he must have turned white as a ghost himself.
Oh, yes. He was not right for a long while, and I just loved teasing him after that. He didn't want to talk about it. He was in such a shock as a result of it. And that was a frequent sighting there of the children playing in the backyard and then completely dissipating in front of your eyes. You could hear them giggling, everything. You would swear they were real.
Wow.
And so he had that experience, to the delight of my mother.
I was going to say, she must have enjoyed that.
Absolutely, because he was really razzing her and really teasing her. And you don't do that to my mother. She'll love her.
That's
so that
wonderful.
Was a fun moment when that happened.
Thank you for sharing that. That is quite a funny story, actually. Is your mother still around, Jane?
No, she died about 3 years ago, but she died at 96 and a half.
Oh,
and
wow, good for her.
She still could add up a column of 20 numbers. I'd have to use the calculator to check. She'd be right, I'd be wrong with the calculator.
Right.
So she was incredible, that way. And I would take her when I would do these things. She'd sit in the car. She wouldn't come in, but I'd take her for a ride.
Wow. So she was a good support for you, and that's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, wonderful. So let me ask you, this is an interesting question, actually. And you've done many of these investigations, obviously. Are there demands for this kind of thing? I mean, do you hear about more and more people looking for somebody to kind of come and investigate unsuspecting whatever activity in the home? Is that something that's pretty common nowadays?
It is very common, and because I've been in the field for a number of years, I see the increase. There's definitely an increase as to what it was maybe 15 years ago as to what it is now. People have become savvy. They're beginning to understand what's going on around them. They're also not as afraid to speak about it. 25 years ago, when they would approach me, they were afraid to speak about it. But today, they're not. They will call. The wife will, the husband. I mean, it'll be a family thing to try to understand what it is. So it's interesting, and you get various kinds of situations. I also feel that there's children are, I get a lot of calls for that too. Children who are sensing things and having a problem in their bedroom. They won't sleep in their bedroom because they see something in the room. So
right.
you have quite a bit.
Oh, so people are kind of becoming their kind of own little, I don't say own little ghost hunters, but they're more, they're not as terrified or they're not as freaked out, so to speak, by any activity because it's becoming more mainstream. You know, it's not such a, you know, a hidden, you know, crazy thing anymore. So the awareness is there. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, the awareness is there, and they're not as afraid to call for somebody to come out simply because of that awareness. Years ago, they would be afraid to say anything because they were afraid somebody was going to think they're crazy.
Right.
And, you know, you had that, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. When you said you had a ghost in the house, you had activity, people would look at you, and if you kept it up, before you know it, they would be thinking you were crazy. So that was always a stigma, where today people are very much aware. So when they have activity, they don't wait. They call.
Right. And now, do you work with a team of people when you investigate these places?
Sometimes not. Because I've been doing this for a number of years, I've always done it alone. I've done it, you know, psychically. And I've only used tape recorder when I've gone in because my goal is to help, you know, the people. If I feel I want, you know, more verification of what's going on, then I'll call in a team. But when you're dealing with an individual home, sometimes if you take a group of people in, it's a little bit intrusive.
Right.
You know, if you're going into a building that's haunted where you can stay for hours and through the night and get permission, it's different. But, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't want that.
Do you find that the ghosts that you're communicating with in these investigations are stubborn in communicating with you? Have you had an experience like that where they just, you couldn't get to them?
Oh, on occasion, certainly, if they'll elude it. They don't want to communicate, or they're very stubborn and they want to stay. Absolutely. I've also had situations where they don't want to communicate with me because they know what I'm going to do. They know that once I do and they don't belong there, I will attempt to get rid of them. And they sometimes don't want that. So they'll try to escape me, so to speak.
Right, right. So they know you're coming. Would that mm-hmm. be fair to mm-hmm. say?
Yes. There have been situations where as soon as the family has called me and it seems as though they know I'm coming, there's even more activity. So it's like they're responding.
So they're actually making much more noise and trying to do kind of some maybe last minute stuff before you show up and hopefully, you know, clear things up for them.
Exactly. And sometimes they don't want to be found out, you know, so you have situations like that. It's very interesting. You know, each case is different in what you find, in why they're attached, and just the dynamics of the family with the spirit. And sometimes the family is causing the problem, is bringing out the activity. Sometimes it's dormant for years, and then it starts because somebody walked in their house, that it may have been a past life memory, and that starts to trigger off the activity. There's interesting things going on out there.
Wow. So whatever you need to do, you just take care of, and it's like on a case-by-case basis. There is no one-size-fits-all, obviously.
No. You deal with it differently. Each case is different. You might keep the one aspect of sea salt, but each case is different in the way that I have to do it and deal with it and help the family, because sometimes it takes counseling, you know, for the family, too. I had to do that with a case years ago in it's sort of like around Washington, New Jersey, or Long Valley it was. And it was a case where it's a duplex, and the activity was happening in both houses. Now, I didn't know that when I got there, because I did go with a researcher to do this particular house. And what had happened is, as I walked around the one duplex, I would have a physical reaction. I would pick the areas where the spirit activity was. Then I went into the next duplex, and it was strange because the same thing in the same exact areas, I would find it, but only in the other duplex that's attached. And ultimately, I figured out what it was, is the one side of the duplex absolutely had a spirit in it. The other side did not. What was happening is it was almost like a poltergeist situation where that woman was, through her own mind, was causing the same activity that the other woman was having, because the one in the first duplex had a baby. The one in the second duplex that didn't have the ghost in it had twins, lost one, and was about to lose the other. So she was in an emotional state that was actually causing the activity in the house. It was very different.
Yeah, wow. So they really, I guess I'm hearing something similar with the people with these emotional states. So are they more susceptible to being attached, a ghost being attached to them?
Mm-hmm. And you also have to understand that in a poltergeist situation, they are not always ghosts. Sometimes they can be, but you also can have a ghost, or what you would think as a ghost, is because of the psychokinetic energy of the person's mind is actually causing the activity, as it was in this duplex. On the one side, it was simply the woman's psychokinetic energy causing the activity and duplicated what was really happening on the other side. So it was not a ghost on that one side. It was all her psychokinetic energy. And those are trickier kind of cases because you go in and it's all based on emotion. So you really have to deal with the family.
Right. So it must take a while, no? Like for a case like that. I mean, it's just not like you pop in, you spend a couple hours. You know, you really work intimately with the family and bring them back to some sense of peace.
Yes. In certain cases, yes, you would have to. And you might have to go back a couple of times.
Wow.
And make sure, like in this particular case with this woman, I ultimately convinced her to go to therapy because she was in mourning over the loss of the one twin, and she was about to lose the other one.
Oh.
So it was a troubling case, but I did break her down, and she cried in my arms where nobody was able to break her down to this point, and she trusted me enough, and then in going back, convinced her and got her into a calm state where she did seek some help for these emotions, which are, you know, justified.
Right. Oh, that's such a touching story, and it's so much more than, you know, just investigating ghosts. So I really appreciate you sharing all of that, because I certainly didn't think, you know, beyond just, you know, getting rid of ghosts out of the house, you know, there's so much more involved in your work. And I think that's wonderful.
It's very different. I think, you know, what the difference is, I've done a lot. When I started doing ghost investigations, it was mostly, I mean, 90% of it was a person calling me with a problem in their house, as opposed to going to, like, the spy house like I've done in various places. So when you're going to homes, there's so much more to it because you are dealing with emotion. You've got to track down what's going on. I had another case which was kind of cute years ago, is this woman was having the spirit activity in the house, and was various things that were going on. And I finally saw the pattern to it. The pattern occurred whenever her husband went away. That's when the activity would go on. And as I investigated, as I questioned, as I tried to psychically figure out, and then I finally did, what happened is she didn't have a ghost in the house. She, through her emotions, was conjuring it up, so to speak, because she was upset their husband was going away for the weekend on these trips. So therefore she was hoping, because of the ghost, and she was afraid that would keep him there.
Ah. Oh, wow. So, Jane, I want to continue, but we need to take a quick Psychic Access commercial break, and we'll be back in about 1 minute's time. So hang on with us, and we're going to continue.
I will.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Hi, and welcome back again. And we are talking with Jane Daugherty on Psychic Access Talk Radio. Jane, I just want to pick up where we left off. The emotions. So I just want to be a little clear. So there was a ghost, or was she getting so...
No.
She created
She was getting
this.
Yes, she created it. She created it with her mind, and... after a while, she began to believe it, but it was all something that she created, and eventually she broke down and told the daughter.
So she was aware on some level of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, I thought she was in this illusion that she didn't realize what she was doing.
Right, and the psychokinetic energy, the emotions, after a while, you're concentrating and something is happening. So then you're believing more, but you know, you started just to create it. And then the emotions, and then once I unraveled it, you know, everything stopped. And we got to the bottom of what it was. It was because her husband, she was an older woman, and her husband would go out with the guys for the weekend. I think he was a milkman. I think that's what it was, if I remember. So... Which is kind of funny. It's been years since that, and that's what happened.
Wow. Okay. I was gonna say that's probably a long time ago. I don't think any places do have milkmen anymore. So it's kind of funny.
No, I don't think so.
But I have a question. Another question I want to ask you. You know, I currently looked at your website and reading a lot about you know, what you do and looking at some of the videos. But you mentioned this unusual occurrence that happens with your stomach, where it actually protrudes several inches. I want to hear about that. Please tell us what happens. Why does that happen?
I have a crazy stomach. It expands when I get. That's how I do a ghost investigation, and that began happening to me in 1990, after I did the TV show for the Home Net, Shopping Channel. Then I went on my first researched ghost investigation, and that's the first time my stomach expanded. And in that particular house, it went out 8 times. I could not wait until this investigation was done. And when we did it years ago, you didn't have the equipment that you have today. So a researcher went in with simply a tape recorder, and you made a map of the house. He would talk to the family, map it all out, find out all the details, not tell the psychic where she's going until she's leaving the house. And then she gets the call for where she's going. And so when I walk in, they have, you know, instructions not to react to anything I say as I walk through. So as I walk through, I have to then mark on my map of the house that they give me, a blank map, where I feel spirit activity is. And then you put one on top of the other, and you compare as far as what the psychic had determined. So in this particular house, you know, I had no idea my stomach was going to go out, what this was. So as I started to go into this one room and my stomach expanded, I yelped, and I looked at them, and of course nobody's reacting, and I realized why. And so then I felt the cold breeze, so then I knew it was a spirit. And then as I went through this house, room after room, my stomach would expand, and I couldn't wait. And when we sat down, my stomach had duplicated almost exactly 8 of the 9 places the family had reported spirit activity in.
Wow.
And it's been that way ever since. I've done investigations with a researcher years ago where I would walk in, and if I said the room was clean, then he would report to me afterwards there was no activity ever reported in that room. So I rely very heavily on my stomach.
It's like your internal barometer.
You know, you've heard of, you know, let your fingers do the walking. Well, I bet my tummy do the investigating first. It walks in the room.
How does it and feel then, for you? How could you explain that feeling?
Okay. It is a contraction that begins low and moves right up to underneath my breastbone. And it's like a woman in labor. It's that type of a contraction in the grip.
Like a kicking?
Yes. Not kicking. You know when you would go into, I don't know if you've been in labor. When you're in labor, there's a period where there is a contraction that's very strong, and then it releases. Well, when the spirit is there, I just get that contraction, and it stays in that contraction until I walk out of the energy or till it leaves me.
Does it hurt?
It does hurt. I've had medical doctors on my tours checking me while it happens. There's no medical explanation for it, but, you know, it does hurt. I can determine whether it is a male, a female, or a child based on where it grips me on my stomach. If it's a child, my stomach will only enlarge or expand to about the belly button. If it's a woman, it's a gentler type of contraction. When it's a man, it's very strong. So I'm able to determine it by just the grip that it gives me.
It's kind of symbolic, actually, a man being more physically stronger, you know, a woman being kind of more the feminine energy, the child being the connection through the umbilical cord to the mother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is that there has been some research done recently in Britain where they now believe that the stomach has a separate brain. So my stomach may be reacting to spirit energy. Somebody else may feel the tingling sensation. Their hair may stand on end. For me, it's a physical reaction. Now, also in ancient days, the third eye was not considered between the eyes, the forehead. It was considered, it was in the gut. Mm. It's where psychics, seers at that point referred to it. It was in the gut.
This is Steve. That's really fascinating. I was just thinking that we always use the expression gut feel, and I always feel spirit and feel in my gut, and that's where the expression comes from. Apparently, gut feel. It's the fact that that's where the energy comes in and where we sense.
Exactly, and I think that I'm just more highly developed there in the feeling sense, so I naturally react where somebody else may not. But that's a natural place is the gut feeling. We all have it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think people who are not psychic per se, or they're not sure, they can understand and relate to gut feelings. Like that's a common language, mm-hmm. a phrase that people don't get, you know, spooked out by, you know.
Somebody may be in the presence of a ghost and they may get just a butterfly feeling in their stomach. They don't know what it is, but they'll get a queasy feeling, a butterfly feeling. Where I really react, but they still are reacting with their gut.
Right. And we all get those kind of feelings, you know, like I said, whether aware of it or not, but how do you understand what those feelings? It's just through practice and practice of doing this to be able to understand what they mean?
Yes, it's from the years of the experiences I've had. and you pretty much can tell. You look for patterns. And then once you've had so many patterns, you can pretty much then predict, you know, when you get that feeling, what it is.
Right, right. Well, that is very interesting. That's, I saw that and I was like, I gotta make sure I ask her about that because I've never heard of the
that happening. I know
stomach, but no, that you, is so cool.
I'll tell you two funny stories having to do with the stomach. That you know, as far as a person, how I have to react to this, it's pretty funny. I was being interviewed on a radio station. And they were going to do an on-air seance, and they were going to choose people, but they were going to interview me first. So I woke up that morning and decided to put it on early just to hear the guys before they interview me. And I heard them quipping about me. And they said, could you just imagine having a nice romantic dinner date with James? And soft music's playing, low lights, candlelight, fine wine, and a ghost goes by. And all the buttons on her blouse pop off. In reality, that can happen, and I never wear button downs.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
It could actually happen. And then another time when, you know, this, okay, I knew this was going to happen in a ghost investigation, but I never realized I could be out there in public, and a ghost can go by, and this can happen to me. And I, because I also do hypnosis, I was a lecturer in hypnosis at the National Guild of Hypnotists in New Hampshire this one year. And I was marooned there for an extra day because of a hurricane. It couldn't drive back. Several of us were. So there I was on the steps outside talking to a gentleman from California. And of course, there was a lot of flirting going on. Now, he did not know that I was also a psychic or that anything like this happened. He knew me as a hypnotist. And all of a sudden, my stomach expands. I yelp and say, oh my God, my stomach is going out. This poor man is looking at me. I have no idea what the heck that means. And I go running to figure out why. And what had happened is an old gentleman was walking past. They were helping him. And I followed. And as I got close to him, my stomach expanded. And then what I learned is he had just been rescued from his house. The water was rising in his house, and he was asleep. And something just woke him up just in time. And he was rescued. So what I was sensing was obviously the spirit that had helped him wake up and alerted him. And that spirit was still around him. And my stomach was reacting to it. But it was a very embarrassing situation to be in. And you can just picture that, this nice little romantic flirting going on, and poof, there goes the stomach. That ended that.
Right. Oh, that is funny, actually. That's a good little chuckle there. But, Jane, we have about a minute or two with this interview with you, and I just want to ask you one quick last question. Is there anything you'd just like to share with the listeners, with the people here, before we wrap it up this evening?
Sure. I think I might like to tell them two experiences that I, you know, put on my Facebook that I would talk about is the ghost that got in bed with me. I'd say that is probably one of my scariest experiences. I was doing an investigation at the Sea Holly Inn in Cape May, and I was sleeping all by myself in the building. And during the middle of the night, I heard the bed go down, and I felt something lay down next to me. I panicked, and I said, go away. I don't want you here. And it worked. It went away. About 2 hours later, it came back, only this time I was in a panic because it was calling a woman's name, and I knew it was a man. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely frightened. He was going to think I was his wife that he was calling. So that was probably one of the most dramatic, scary things for me in that. I also had something at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco, and I was standing in this one room, and my stomach expanded. We smelled cigar smoke, and the smell of a cigar, and I'm saying this with my eyes closed, and what happened is I felt the spirit walk through me, and I heard the words, "How did you like that?"
Oh.
And who it was George Burns. And then
I was getting a chill thinking about that.
Oh, and that was the room, apparently, that he used to be in all the time. They had it separated. The female lounge was on one side, and the male lounge was where I was, and this happened.
Oh.
So it was a very, very interesting experience.
Whew. Wow, Jane. Wow, that is amazing. You've had quite a bit of experience, and I know we didn't get to everything, but I do want to thank you this evening for joining us tonight. And I have great deal of respect for you and the knowledge, and I really appreciate, I know we all do here on Psychic Access Talk Radio, for you taking time out of your busy day, especially with the holidays. So right here, basically. So thank you, Jean, and I really appreciate your time and energy and being with us here this evening.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
And have a happy holiday and a wonderful new year. And we look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, thank you. And I just wanted to mention Jane's information, Jane Doherty, our guest this evening. You can go to her website, Jane Doherty, DOHERTY.com, and also on our guest page at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. And I believe we were going to be going to a commercial from our sponsors. Well, I guess we'll keep talking. I'm not sure if we're in a commercial or not, but we have Steve, Allure, Maureen. You guys with me this evening?
Yeah. How are you?
Wonderful. What'd you think of the show?
Excellent. Very interesting.
Yes, especially about her gut feeling. I can identify, as Steve was talking about that too. And it is a lot of things businessmen do, their gut feeling. They do these big deals with their guts. I know my dad was. Or a hunch, but a gut feeling is one of those words. You're right.
I get that too. I get certain feelings through my solar plexus. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I got the cue here. We are going to a commercial on People's Television Network. Am I saying that correctly? And we're going to go to a commercial, and we will be back.
Every Tuesday night, check out Miamitown Ghost Talk on the People's TV Network and ASPRN.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miamitown Ghost Talk is hosted by Mike and Jeff, the authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and the co-founders of Miamitown Ghost Tours. Miamitown Ghost Talk will delve into all aspects of the paranormal, from cryptozoology, UFOs, to ghosts and spirits, talking to authors, investigators, and so much more. So be sure to check out Miamitown Ghost Talk every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com and PeoplesTVNetwork.com at PTN Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. I'm going to make a few announcements here. I'd like to make a few announcements. Please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And that's actually on psychicaccess.com's webpage as well. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the lists of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they have found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I am associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity, so I know my reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on The Psychic View on Psychic Access, and if you like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com, and we would certainly love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic View, because there's something for everybody, and I'd love for you to spread the word. We really would appreciate it. And also, I'm going to be sharing with you the call-in number, because we will be doing readings, not until about 9:15 or so, so in about 10, 15 minutes. And that number is 724-444-4851. So I'm going to just jump in here and talk to my lovely co-hosts. And Alora, I'm going to ask you, definition of paranormal. What would you like to share with us about that?
Well, I looked it up because I wasn't sure what it meant, even though I have a sense of it, so I thought I'd look it up. And basically, what it means is beyond present accepted models of science, above and beyond everyday happenings, pertains to psychic events by those who do not believe everyone is capable of developing psychism, that which is unexplainable but not, quote, absurd, unquote. Now, one website explains it as the rule of thumb used to classify paranormal activity encompasses anything that defies logical explanation. Simply put, events, encounters, or activities that occur outside the bounds of normal activity are often considered paranormal in nature. And that's what she was talking about tonight. So I thought that would be very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And I may speak on behalf of everybody here, but, you know, for us, this is the normal. You know, and I think when she was sharing, Jane, about, you know, people being aware, you know, like these ghost investigations now aren't as foreign as it was, you know, 25 years ago, that this kind of work and understanding is going to start to be, quote unquote, normal as we,
right,
you know, define it. So thank you for sharing that. And what is your take on that, Allura?
As far as what
the
do you
paranormal
mean?
And
oh
and
yeah, the- well, we live in that world, so for us it's normal. Everybody thinks we're weird, but yeah, to me because energy is where everything begins and starts from, rather than the other way around. A lot of people, you know, in the mainstream world believe it's the other way around, that everything begins with the physical world, but the physical world is built on energy particles. And so at some point, science and knowledge of the energy upon which our world is built on the different levels of dimensions and time and space has to eventually become common knowledge at some point, because our universe is made that way. And since we are made to constantly look for new information and to figure out how our universe is structured, at some point I believe our instruments and science and all those things will be developed enough to where we can measure those energy particles, and eventually will become common knowledge. How long it'll take, I don't know. And I think we'll get bits and pieces. We're already getting that with quantum physics, but it's going to take a while. I don't know. I wish quantum physics was more mainstream knowledge and taught in schools, you know, like, you know, to our children more, because then it would be more accepted even today, because that is a valid field of science. But until that happens, it's going to take a while. But yeah, I do believe it's going to have to become part of our norm.
Right. And I agree. Absolutely. I mean, people can either be on the bandwagon with this, or they're going to have a very difficult time, because it is shifting. We are shifting. The earth is shifting. So we just, you know, we got to go with this, because, hey, you know, that's why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But thank you, Allura, and so glad you were able to join us this evening. So we're happy
that you
got on the call.
Me too.
So Maureen, the lovely Maureen, who believes in ghosts, paranormal, tell us about that, Maureen.
Who believes? I don't believe. I keep saying I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know from my experiences. And you know, just that word, believe. It doesn't matter, but I do want to share with people what all the other people believe in, because I know everything. No, anyway, according to CBS News, the majority believe in ghosts. 22% of Americans say that they've seen or felt a ghost, and that doesn't surprise me because they have. But nearly half of Americans say that they believe. There's that word, in ghosts. So that's interesting because a lot of people don't talk about it much. But that the dead can return. They also believe in certain places or situations that they can return. So more than 1 in 5 Americans say that they have seen ghosts themselves or have felt themselves to be in a presence of one. So it's a very amazing phenomena because it has no economical, social, or racial boundaries. It's a collectible thing. But so there's a lot of people in all walks of life that believe in this. The problem is with some of the people that are scientists and so on, they have a harder time coming out with what really that they believe in because they would get bashed.
Well, because they can't prove it, right? Is that what
exactly? Yeah. So let's say there's a lot of the science scientifically trying to prove something like that. But let's say personally they have an experience. It's a little bit, it's tormenting for them. Some of them, you know, nowadays people are opening up. It's like, well, scientifically, it doesn't matter. But if somebody has an experience, they do have a hard time with their scientific and their personal end. So they don't really come out and talk about it. Or they won't let it be known. Even if they had experience, they're still scientists. So it's interesting, I understand it in the way of their profession, and that's how it's supposed to be. But come on, everybody, enough is enough. I mean, if one's a sign, and I think actually things are changing like that. But you know, I also found some interesting information about the. Not only that is, you know, like I said, there was the CBS poll is a little bit different, but there was some information about the political people that the type of political people that. Believe in ghosts, and I'm not politically inclined, but about how the Democrats and the who are the other ones?
Republicans?
I know. it's interesting how they are real different about the percentage that they, and also that the Republicans, of course, don't have much to do with the ghosts, but also when people get older into their 40s, they stop believing in them as much.
Shame on them.
It's interesting. it's very interesting. So this stuff, it fascinates me, but the political end, so, you know, the facts are overwhelming, and do we ever think they'll ever be able to prove it? Probably not, people think, but after a while, people are experiencing them, we won't have to.
I don't even think it matters, Maureen, about proving anything.
Either.
You know, I mean, like you said, having an experience is. I don't care if you prove it to me that it's wrong. If I had an experience, that's it. That's it. I'm done. You know, so everybody's different. You know.
Yeah, I think it's going to just change. But you know what? One thing I want to say is my father, a long time ago, and if he listens to this, he better listen up because I remember when I was coming into my stuff, you know, my heart journey, I was having some experiences like such, and he said something, and I thought it was so lovely until like 20 years later. This is the words he used. I believe that you believe this. And I thought he was all supportive, but then it dawned on me, wait a minute, 20 years later, what was he saying? He was just trying to shut me. I believe that you believe it. So, you know, it's like, okay. So everybody, that's all I have to say for this.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maureen, for enlightening us. It's always a lot of fun. Now, Steve, you've had a lot of rest here, and I know you're a little under the weather. So I appreciate your coming here and joining us. But I have very interesting question to ask you, and it's pretty cool, actually, that Jane had touched based on this during the interview. Is, have you ever had experienced poltergeist activity? Didn't lose you.
Uh-oh.
Steve!
Sorry. I'm struggling with my cold and stuff, but I've experienced a lot of poltergeist activity. I was brought up in North Wales, and the home that I was raised in was built, it is still there actually, it's built on a burial ground. And we had lots of different activity in the home. There was a particular bedroom that it downstairs, and guests would always say that they would be woken up in the night in that bedroom. And it was almost as though somebody was sort of touching you to check that you were okay because you were lying down. And when we looked at old maps, there was actually a pathway that went through the house. So it's almost as though spirit or ghosts would be walking along that pathway, and they would walk through the bedroom and see you lying down, and then they would sort of nudge you out of concern to see if you were okay because you were lying in the pathway. So we had all kinds of activity like that, but we did have a poltergeist activity, a lot of banging and knocking, and I've seen lots of cases of poltergeist activity in the UK and in the States. And it's interesting that your guest was talking about emotional issues, because often you find that where emotions are running really high, or where there's conflict in a relationship, particularly when there's a psychic child in the household as well, you do see poltergeist activity. It's pretty common, actually. And I'm seeing a big increase in demand for house clearing, exorcism, and all of this stuff, just as your guest was saying.
Right. Now, let me ask you, you know, that movie, Poltergeist, obviously back in probably 80s, would you say that that depicts it accurately, or is it just Hollywood stuff?
I don't think I saw that one.
What?
Surprisingly, Jackie. I know. I'm a bit odd with films. I don't often watch films. Tell me a little bit about that one.
Well, from what I remember, it was the same, kind of similar to what you were saying. This family bought this house. They didn't realize it was built on a burial ground, which they never told the owners, and they never dug up the caskets. So they basically plowed the headstones over and left all the bodies underneath.
Wow.
But what was happening is there was, you actually may want to look this up because there's an interesting twist to it. So the family, you know, things are moving, you know, cabinets were opening, but the TV would, you know, when you get that white noise and that static,
yep.
Like the daughter got sucked into the TV, and she was like crying out for her mom, and they had this little woman come in to help take care of everything. And, basically, I don't remember the whole thing, but basically they pulled her out and all that kind of stuff happened. But what was interesting was the movie, the actors, that little girl had actually died. I forgot what her name was. And then also they were saying that some of the people, the actors, were like, things would happen, like they were cursed, like these weird coincidences and stuff happened. So, you know, it makes you wonder if you're tapping into this kind of paranormal, you know, kind of work, you know, does that really, you know, do they know what they're even doing? I mean, I think this is in the 80s.
I think I know that it's very important to protect yourself if you're doing psychic work. So it may well be that people have been involved in the project or as actors, but they haven't taken the necessary precautions to protect themselves psychically. Is it so important to protect our energy? But your point about the television is very interesting. I participated in an exorcism a few weeks ago, and the child in the house was actually hearing spirit through the television. And I've heard that a number of times. You hear often of the radio or television being used as a way
channel
for spirit to communicate. Yeah. So just as, for example, a medium is the intermediary between somebody in the spirit world and somebody here in our world, a radio, for example, is also a medium of communication. It detects some information and transmits that information in a different format. And televisions do the same. So I have heard many stories of televisions being used by spirit, particularly negative entities. So that's pretty common.
Is it because of the frequency? You know, because I don't remember how television works with the radio waves or the television waves, but I remember when Jane was saying in the interview, she, you know, brought a recording in, you know, so is it easier? I wonder if it's easier for them to get a message to us, you know, through that, like you said, that kind of, channel, that kind of means, you know, with the, you know, there's so much etherically out there, you know, like that you can kind of, it is this grid, so to speak. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, we live in, I mean, Laura mentioned quantum physics before, and I found some fantastic information about quantum physics on the internet yesterday. I was reading all kinds of things, but there was one article I read on the internet. It was academic, but extremely interesting, but it was saying that we live in this kaleidoscopic sea of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when it comes to mediumship, the medium raises their energy, and the spirit wanting to communicate have to lower their vibration. So it's all a question of frequency. And I think that's why we experience, you know, some of us experience physical symptoms when there's a storm and we have problems with electromagnetic devices. It's all a question of frequency. So absolutely, spirit do use TV, etc., and radio to communicate. I think they tune into those frequencies at times.
Yeah, probably because it's more accessible, you know, than, let's say, for somebody who's not aware of those kind of frequencies like we are, you know, where we tap into it and we work in there, you know, to some degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, in about a couple minutes, thank you, Steve, we're going to take some callers. Again, let me just give you that number, 724-444-4851. I'm going to just go back to Alora quick for one more question, Alora.
Sure.
The top five signs of paranormal activity. Would you share that with us?
Sure. The top five signs are disembodied voices and phantom sounds, manipulation of objects, equipment malfunction, and battery drains. Maybe that's what happened to me tonight, huh?
Exactly.
Apparitions and ectoplasm claims, and air temperature changes.
Right. Oh,
I didn't
really
know that. I thought it was interesting. Well, you know, like stuff like equipment malfunction and battery drains, you know, because I notice that happens with my energy, depending on what my energy is like, you know. So I didn't know that would also have to do with paranormal activity, you know, like other entities, that sort of thing.
Right. Like we were saying with Steve before about, you know, being able to manipulate it, so to speak.
Exactly. So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, thank you. I did too. And thank you for sharing the top five. It's pretty cool. So I'm going to just go through and let everybody know that we've come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in, and that's probably the best way to get your questions. You're answered, and you know, certainly you can do in the chat room, but if you have something really pressing, you know, please call in. You know, we do have to take the callers first due to the wait time. Again, the call-in number 724-444-4851. Please note that no one will answer your call. When your call comes in, you'll just be placed on hold automatically. So just relax and listen to the show while you wait. And you will be able to speak to us when you're placed in the air. Please try to be very specific with your questions. This will enable us to focus and hone in more directly upon your area of interest. And that will be the cue for the callers. And I believe we have New Jersey on the line, if I'm not mistaken. Are we ready for a call from New Jersey? Jersey, my hometown. Hometown, home state.
Uh-huh. Everybody seems like they're from the East Coast.
I wish I wasn't, because it's freezing.
Oh, I'd love to. I'll trade you.
Okay. Let's do it. Send me some sunshine.
No, there's rain here. It's bad rain. Big nose. It's been rain.
Rain.
It rains in Southern California.
Okay.
It
you know what?
Never. I thought it never rained in Southern California. Isn't that how the song goes?
Yes, a bunch of, you know.
I'm teasing. You don't want me to sing. You don't want me to sing.
Well, we have New Jersey on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. What is your name, please?
Oh, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
Thank you. I need some direction. I want to know what path my career will take for 2011. I'm kind of confused.
All righty.
Confused is okay. You know what? This is Maureen. Hi.
Okay. Hi.
Can everybody hear me okay? I'm off mute. Yeah. I have something I'd like to say. I'm sorry, your name's Debbie.
Debbie.
Debbie, you know, I get a really good feeling that you're heading towards a really great you're heading towards some really great things. Confused or not, I feel that I see you kind of like learning. You're heading towards a great year of your career. It's going to be one that you're going to be, I see you like as a student, and like when I say that, sometimes I don't mean someone going back into a classroom so much, but you're needing, and you are going to be, it would be to your advantage, to get some more knowledge and insight, and it looks like you're a sponge and you're really absorbing it. It's really easy for you to absorb some new knowledge, and really, it's almost like I feel that there's a really good advisor. There's a male here, a man who looks like someone that would give you good sounds. Like he's a spiritually kind of feeling man who would give you some really good objective advice. And this is something that you've been wanting to do. You know, there's so much good. I know you said you're confused. Your sleeping looks like it's been difficult, but this is going to be your year to go for it. Whatever it is that you've been, it's something that I think. I get so much good. Your personal power is wonderful. You're feeling like you're going to be free. I mean, you're going to free yourself from the self-imprisonment that you might have thought you were, you know, kind of doing. And it's just really good. I say, and you are being realistic. There is a choice that you're going to make. And I say jump and go for it. Be fearless and with enthusiasm, just like you would when you were a little kid type of feeling. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly what it is, but go for what you want to do.
Is it going to be a conventional job?
Pardon me?
Is it going to be a conventional job? A regular?
I think it's going to be, it's not so much a job, something that you are supposed to do that you just need just some more insight on. It's like something, I don't think it's going to be a regular job that you just go to every day and you just don't really like, you know, that kind of thing. It's something else that you've been wanting to do.
Good.
And I say, and I think it's something you have passion for. You just need a little bit of direction and, It's not a conventional job. I guess I don't want to say. I don't know what that means. I mean, it's not a traditional job. Let's put it that way. I don't know. It's the kind of work that you wanted to do, and you would be happy getting up to do it every day.
Excellent. That's good to hear.
It's very
that's
good.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy. Thank you very much.
Sure. That's what I got. Anyway, it was great. Really great.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely, Debbie, take this
year.
Opportunity to, like, I definitely got what Maureen was saying about, you know, kind of exploring. And I also wanted to add, you know, to have fun with this, because this isn't going to be something where, you know, like you're saying, conventional. I mean, just the word sounds boring. You know, this isn't about boring. This is about exciting. This is about this awakening, this new part of you, this soul, this inside nudge, you know. And the confusion is there, and that's fine, but I don't feel like it's totally overwhelming. It's going to go away. But just be open to like, okay, I'm open to new things. You know, you could even make that your mantra, you know, to help you kind of work through some of this stagnant energy, this confusion that's kind of swirling around your area. Just be open to it, because something is going to show up next year. I really feel strongly for that. And it's not going to be something you don't want to do. You know, this is something that you're meant to do. You know, you're here for. You know, we're all here for something. And that's what you're looking for.
Because I'm among the unemployed right now, and I'm really trying, and I'm don't know which direction to go.
Yeah. Just right. Trust yourself. Okay. You know, the trust in the gut, that was a big theme here. And, you know, I would start with there and certainly take this time to explore. You know, be an explorer right now. But thank
great.
You for calling, and we got to jump onto another caller. We appreciate
okay.
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have Florida next. Hi, Florida.
Hi, how are y'all doing tonight?
We're wonderful. What is your name?
Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Go ahead with your question.
Hi, everybody. My question is also about employment and career path. I have a career path that I would like to go into, and I'm having a feeling that it's going to be happening, you know, maybe within the first 4 months of next year. I, too, am unemployed right now, and just kind of wanting to maybe get some direction and guidance if this career path that I'd like to take is the right one to take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tammy? This is Maureen. Yeah. I'm just going to jump in because that's what I do. I jump in the
water. Go ahead, Maureen.
Head first. Hi, Tammy.
Jump in, sweetie.
We're behaving ourselves. Okay. You know what I get with you is that you being indecisive is not good for you, this situation. What you're coming towards, because I see that you have all the makings of, like you even said it yourself, that within the next 4 months you got a feeling of something. But what I'm getting is there's other people that just aren't on board with this with you. Like if you wanted a support system with this, you're not gonna, I don't see much of one around, I guess is what I'm saying. Don't let that get you thinking that you have to be indecisive about maybe you, whatever. You have, you know, it's almost like you're looking, I see you looking out and you have the world in your hand and there's so much possibilities, or taking an ordinary opportunity, I see that you can make it great. You need to just be very careful about this. Outside influences of people are just not the good energy, I don't feel. They're not good energy. There's troublemakers, I guess.
Well,
and,
I've been cleaning house lately.
You know, I think just try to, and I don't see you going in dire straits, by the way. I do want to say that. I think that, you know, financial, I know we all kind of have our issues, but I don't see any, you know, that going into a real deep problem. But I feel that you really maybe should keep to yourself with what you, I see you have a vision and it's a very good one. Being indecisive, it would be the thing that would not be good to do.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. I also feel like you really, you're on the right road. You know what you want, but you've got some doubts. And I also see like a male type of energy, or it could be a woman who's very masculine, but some type of real strong male energy that's not in your favor at this point. But don't pay attention to that. Really go your own road. One of your a hindrance to you would be you not really paying attention to what you really, really want to do. Don't let that go, because what you really, really want to do is going to bring you to where you want to go. So make sure you
really want to.
Pardon?
I said, and I know what I really, really want to do.
Okay.
That's why I just want to be sure that, you know, I'm traveling down the right path.
As long as
sure there's going to be people that will support and people that won't.
Right, exactly. As long as you are very clear about what's in your heart, what is your passion, what you want to do, follow that and make sure you're 100% sure, because your intention, the energy of your intention that you put behind it will propel you forward. So like Maureen was saying, you know, don't be indecisive. Really put your intention 100%, knowing that you know what you want. And don't worry about these other people who don't support. you know what you know what's right for you, and don't let anybody sway you. So you'll be fine if you follow that.
Taking me, do you see this career path taking me out of Jacksonville, Florida, and possibly putting me in into a new town, new people?
Tammy, I'm going to jump in. This is Jackie. What I'm getting for you, hi, is, you know, there's this part of you that's like, I got to do it right or else. You know, it'll be okay if there's, you know, something comes up where it's not what you expected. There's no mistakes in the universe, okay? It's only what we perceive as mistakes. So maybe perhaps if you're... things are showing up and you're like, well, you know, I didn't ask for that. That's okay. It's there for a reason. All right. I see that and that's fine. I know which way not to go. So try to navigate, a little more closely. In other words, I know you're in the future and you want these things to happen for you and they absolutely can, but that really consists of in this moment, the decisions you make right now. And the decisions are allowing for you to allow yourself to be comfortable, make mistakes, and because that's okay. There's nothing wrong with making it's really a perception. Mistakes really are nothing more than just, you know, another opportunity. So
and mistakes are learning experiences.
I'm sorry?
I said mistakes are learning experiences.
They are. They are, and you know that. And don't be afraid to make some along the way. Because if this is your path, which I feel it is, you will be on it. You will be on it. And you have to believe that in your heart, which I know you do.
Do you guys feel any sooner than April for some reason? I mean, April keeps coming to me in dreams, you know, in my ear. April. You know, and we're talking almost January, and that's 4 months away.
But don't worry about that, because if that's what you are getting, see, it's about trusting yourself. These doubts are just clouding you. So just let go of these worries, you know, and I think Allura was saying, it's other people's energy, you know, being really protective of yourself and trust what you get. You find that strength to trust, you know, every day. But listen, good luck to you. Oh, sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Sorry, I've just got some very quickly. I get April for you as well, but April is the move. The actual agreement around the opportunity is late February. It's either the 30th. I get the number 30, but there isn't a 30th in February. Let me ask about this. It's late February, early March, because it kind of comes in after the 28th. So it must be very early March that you will actually make an agreement or a commitment to an opportunity. And there is a move for you in April. It's later in April. It's around the 22nd or 23rd. But there is a relocation.
Wow, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
And you're definitely on the right track. My guides say that you're very clear about what you want to do. And it's more the fact that a significant number of people around you don't sort of believe in that direction, or they don't believe it. It's almost as though they don't believe it's possible. But you really must go for it and stick with your intention to move in that direction. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Don't let other people dissuade you. There are about three or four people around you. Three of them are in the family, and one is a friend. But these people are not giving you the level of encouragement and support that you deserve. Don't ever let anybody dissuade you from doing what you're passionate about. I've always done what I'm committed to and what I feel really driven to do, even when I've been discouraged. And it's always worked out, because you feel strongly which direction you should take. Now, the name Barbara comes up around you. Do you have a Barbara in the family?
No, I do not, actually. There is just myself, my daughter, and my granddaughter. My family has all crossed to the other side.
Well, have a look at the family tree, because there's a Barbara in spirit. She's encouraging you. And she gives the she gives the age of 56, actually. And when I ask about that, the significance of that number, she talks about her passing at the age of 56. But she says that the name Barbara repeats, because the name Barbara crops up in your career or your professional pathway as well. And it's a very positive influence. So do check your family tree for Barbara. She's on your mother's side, and she's either a great-grandmother or a great-aunt. But the name comes up very clearly. But also be aware that when the name Barbara comes up in your career, that lady is somebody that can be trusted. She's a very positive influence. My guides also say that you're wonderful with animals and nature generally.
Oh, thank you. I love being around animals. Yes,
Does that make sense?
Very much. I have to ask this one then, because I've never had to ask this or thought of it this way. This barber that's 56 years old that you're getting, I am adopted. Could this possibly be someone from my biological
side? Yes, because this is your mother's side of the family.
From my mother who's passed.
Yep, this is a barber on your mother, in spirit, on your mother's side of the family.
Okay.
But she talks of animals. Are you an animal? Are you a real animal lover?
Yes. I love all kind of animals. I do work at our drop-off place, wherever they drop off little squirrels and raccoons.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'll go and donate time there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because you have such a strong connection to animals. And you'll find, if you're not already, I don't want to ask you what direction you're taking, but you'll find, or my guides are saying, that you'll find that you're meant to be working with animals and nature. There's also a connection with forestry. But you'll find in the medium term, you actually end up working with animals and it's like land commission and forestry, that sort of stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much for everybody's input tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tabby.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are going to go to our commercial break on Psychic Access.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Hi, we are back on the air, PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. And we are taking callers, and our next caller this evening is from Utah. Hi, Utah, you're on the line. Are you with us this evening?
Hello?
Hi, glad you can make it. What is your name?
This is not Utah. I think you got the wrong caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is your name anyway?
It's
Michael from Hawaii.
You know me. This is Hawaii calling. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha.
But I'm not in Utah. I will not keep you guys long. I am not calling for a reading. What I did want to do was to call in and wish everybody there, Maureen, Alor, Steve, everybody at Psychic Access, wishing you folks all a wonderful, blessed Christmas. May it be full of joy and happiness for you, and may you have that joy all year round.
Same to you,
all
Michael. We appreciate that.
And then some, Michael, and take care of yourself all year round, too, okay?
Yes,
thank you for that.
Thank you, Michael.
Christmas joy all year round.
Same to you, Michael.
Lots of love and blessings.
Yes, I'll let you go. That's all I wanted to call to say was a very Merry Christmas to you all.
You too. Happy New Year, Michael.
Happy New Year, too. Bye-bye.
Adios. Bye-bye. Or how do you say aloha?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Ciao. Arrivederci.
There we go. Got them all covered. All right. So Utah was Hawaii, and We will just move on. We have another Florida call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. What is your name, please?
My name is Patsy, and I'm trying to start learning about my angel. And I was wondering if you guys would be able to help me out by giving me my angel name or my guide's name.
Okay. Was your name Betsy? I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure I'm clear.
Yeah. P-E-T-F-Y. It's with a P.
Okay. Okay. I'm hearing Gabriel, which is actually an archangel. I feel that she is with you, and it's about communication. It's about the arts. It's about helping you to tap back into your creative energy. I feel like you've been, I don't even want to say the word depressed, but you've been in this slump and just, you know, what is the holiday blues, you know, that kind of feeling where you're just kind of having a little time, a little trouble getting through it. So one of the ways you can, you know, help yourself is to, they're showing me color, bringing color, you know, vibrant color into your home, you know, dressing your physical body up with like flashy colors, you know, something to lift up your spirits. Because color, the energy of color is very powerful. You know, the reds and the yellows and the oranges, actually the lower chakra colors, the first, second, and third, to help you find some grounding and some balance. Because yeah. I feel like this disconnect is, you're in your head too much. So to help you, you know, kind of quote unquote, get back down to earth by using the colors associated with the chakras to help ground you. But that is who is coming through for you is Archangel Gabrielle. And you can actually look her up to see if some of what she does resonates with you, but very strongly is what I'm getting as well. And I think Steve has a little something to share as well with you.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. I get Archangel Gabriel as well, actually. I was getting Archangel Gabriel very clearly.
Okay. How do I make myself better communicate with her?
Well, you know, Archangel Gabriel is the Archangel that really encourages people to set their direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, my guides are saying that part of the reason that Archangel Gabriel is strong with you at the moment is the fact that you really need to be clear about the direction you're taking, because there's some real hesitation about you stepping forward. You do feel a bit stuck, and it's not a bad thing. It's just the opportunity for you to really be clear about the direction that you want to go in and actually have the confidence to step forward. Does that make sense?
So what sort of things should I look for on a daily basis, like for the directions? Because right now I feel like clueless.
So you feel?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't understand what you said. You said right now you feel
clueless.
Clueless. Okay, yeah. And that's partly why Archangel Gabriel's with you, because as I said, Archangel Gabriel steps in to really help people set their direction and to give people strength. The solution, well, there are two things with you. One is you need to consider the location that you're in, because my guides give me a very strong feeling that you're questioning whether you're in the right location. There's this sense that you're not in the right place. Have you been thinking about location?
I'm confused. I'm like, okay, what signs should I look for? What, you know, I'm looking for some sort of signs or anything that would show me the direction.
Okay, have you been thinking about the location you should live in as a starting point? Have you been giving any thought to where would be the right location for you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Just give some thought to where you would like to be located, because you really need to think of all of the criteria that are going to make you happy in life, and don't look at things in isolation. So don't just think about career. Think about the type of home you would like to be in, the type of climate, the location, the things that you're interested in, and also career. And think of the whole picture. You really lack direction when it comes to work as well. My guides give me the strong feeling that you are not at all clear about what you actually want to do with your work either. It's almost as though everything's under question. Does that make sense to you?
Not really.
So you're not questioning...
I feel like I'm in this deep hole and I have no sense of direction where to turn.
Yeah, this is what I was saying, that you're questioning everything. It's almost as though you're not clear about anything right now. It's not just work, it's not just location, it's almost everything's under question.
Everything, right.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. If I know my angel name, at least I concentrate on that, on the angel, and maybe take some direction or something.
Sorry, Steve, I'm going to interrupt. You know what you can do? Because you were asking if there was somebody you could talk to. Steve and I both got Archangel Gabrielle. Quite simply, all you really need to do at this point is call her, and it's just asking her. Just say, Archangel Gabrielle, come to me and give me a sign. Give me some answers, because I really don't know what to do. I know we're trying to help you and giving a lot of suggestions for you. But if you're in this place where you're just like, I don't know what else to do, none of this is making sense to me, all you need to do is ask. You know, in that place where you're home, if you're just sitting in bed, if you're, in a quiet place, and just say, show me something. Show me something, because I need to know. You can do that. You can ask for anything. And that's who came through for you. And she is about communication, and she will communicate to you. But address her, and you can ask her.
Okay.
That's just my two cents.
I'll work on that.
Yeah, and don't be afraid. Just it's like you're just having a conversation with a friend. Just say, listen, I need some help here, and I know you're around me, and please just help me find some answers or some understanding to what's going on, and you will.
Okay.
You will.
And why does the name Chris comes up like everywhere for me? Is that like my guide name or something?
Chris.
It's like I'm at work, somebody shows up with it, I open up a letter, there's somebody's name with it, I'm at the school, some kid. I mean, it's almost like everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm sensing is one of the reasons is because, it's helping you to see. Sometimes we don't see things right away until they start showing up several times. Like they keep repeating, like you're saying, this name Chris just keeps showing up. Personally, I feel that that's the angel's way of getting your attention by having to show you something more than once. So, like, you're noticing signs. Personally, for me, I'm not seeing a connection at this moment. But what I feel is the idea that, these patterns, these things are showing up. So, in other words, it's helping you to be aware that when you start to ask for help, it's like it's going to show up, and now you won't have to wait to see it five or six times. You'll see it a couple times and be like, oh, that's it. That's the answer.
Okay.
So I feel like it's preparing you. That's just what I'm getting. So.
All right. Thank you so much. And everybody, happy holidays.
Oh,
same
you too.
To you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Jackie, it's interesting because I was getting exactly the same. That I wasn't. My guides are not saying to me that the name Chris is the message. The message is what you said. The message is that we need to just keep stay aware of signs of words that repeat, because when we become aware of that, spirit are really trying to tune in and show us which are the signs or the words that are really important to us and that they will use to help us determine the right direction.
Yeah, and I think she was in a place where she just wasn't sure. You know, she was, like you said, she was just in this dark hole, so to speak. And the fact that she is noticing something, that is definitely a good sign, because that is a sign, you know, that is a way. So,
absolutely.
But anyway, thank you. And we're going to jump on to another caller here. We have somebody from Colorado on the line. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And what is your name?
My name is Noah.
Noah. Hi, Noah. What is your question for us this evening?
Well, I was wondering if my guides had any direction for me to go kind of in this new year and, you know, basically more for career or employment. I was looking in the right places.
Sounds like it's a common theme this evening with the callers. Are you currently not working, Noah? Okay. All right.
Have we lost Noah?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, Noah. We thought we'd lost you there.
No.
So, sorry, Jackie. So, Noah, Jackie's asking you, are you out of work at the moment?
I am out of work at the moment, yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
So you're thinking about the direction you should take in future.
Yeah, you know, my searching is on the right path, or
okay. Well, I've got my guides are giving me direction information for you, but I didn't want to interrupt. I was just trying to help Jackie
make sure
you were there. So back to you, Jackie. But hand back to me whenever you like.
That's okay. Why don't you go ahead and I'll see what I get in the meantime. So why don't you go ahead?
Thank you. Well, Noah, I get with you and your direction in the future. My guides are showing me computers, and they're saying that you're very creative, but also technical. And I'm not sure whether I'm seeing computer programming or computer design, but I'm definitely seeing a talent with computers and a lot of creative ability as well. Are you there, Noah?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to respond.
Oh, sorry. I thought we'd lost you.
Jump right in.
I wasn't sure whether it's because of my hearing. Does that make any sense to you, Noah? Because you're very creative, but you're also very good technically.
Actually, that's what I've spent about the last 10 years doing. I kind of float between the business and the IT world, doing like database implementations and you know, data farming and analysis and things like that. So,
okay, it comes up, but you're very creative, Noah, as well, in the sense that you should be artistic and creative. Because I'm seeing computers, but I see my guides are talking about your technical capability, but they're showing me creative flair and artistic flair as well. Have you explored your artistic capability and considered combining your artistic capability with your technical skills?
No. When I was younger, I used to sculpt and draw. You know, I when I've taken on technical roles, you know, I like creating things. I've always liked to create things. If it's building a deck or, you know, drawing a picture or building a database. You know, I've always liked to do that stuff.
Well, because I see this creativity, Noah, and this design as well with you, and even architecture, because I see property being designed. I see you actually designing beautiful property, but I see it all being done on computers. You're one of these people that's multi-talented, so I don't want to pinpoint one particular thing and say to you that there's one particular field, because I see you combining different projects. One is using your technical capability, but in a more creative manner. It's more visual, it's more design oriented. And then in the medium term, there's design, but as I said, it feels like architecture or designing properties. Are you interested in beautiful homes?
Yes.
Yeah, because I see design of beautiful homes, and you know, you're going to do so well. I'm also excited for you because my guides are showing me coins, and that my main guide Arthur's saying you can't imagine how much money you'll be paid for just for individual projects. So being involved in the design, not only the architectural, the structural design, but the real all the visual stuff. You know, the decor and the presentation of property. You just can't imagine some of the commissions you'll receive in future. There's a connection with Montana and the northwest of the states as well.
Okay.
Because I see this beautiful log property. I see you being involved in the design of this beautiful wooden home. So there's definitely a connection in the longer term to the northwest as well. But right now I feel as though you're more connected to the east of the states, the northeast.
Okay.
But you've got a very exciting future. March, there's a great opportunity for you. My guides just say you just need to just get your head around the fact that you don't have to do one thing. You can do two, three, four things that you're really passionate about and combine them.
Okay.
Actually, yes, I get something similar, only what I saw, because he's multi-talented, I saw a beautiful red car, like he likes to tinker, and he has mechanical ability. He could design cars, he could build them, he could do all kinds of stuff, and that's what I saw. I don't know if you like cars, and I saw really fat, I don't know anything about cars, so I don't even know what type of car I'm looking at, but it's kind of an older, really sleek-looking, red, shiny, beautiful car, lots of beautiful polished metal and things of that nature. So that's what I'm getting, a similar kind of message for you, and I just want to confirm that. Might be something you want to look into, your creativity and things of that nature, maybe to design or build. I don't know if you like to tinker with cars or anything like that.
I haven't done a whole lot of experience with it. You know, I like to do things with my hands, but
yeah,
I haven't had a whole lot of exposure to cars.
Right. Might be something you might want to get into, or tinkering, you know, building and things of that nature.
Okay.
With, you know, so that you can build and create things that are really nice, something that you could use. I get that you're more of a, you know, something you'd enjoy, and that it's something practical that you could use.
All right. Do you see a job opportunity in the near future, or are we going to be waiting for a while?
No, what I'm getting, this is Jackie, I'm feeling like these winter months, you know, well, winter meaning because I'm on the East Coast, until early spring, like early, you know, mid-March, early March, I'm feeling like this is, you know, I mean, winter hibernation, but it's about, you know, tapping back into, I keep hearing the same thing with the creativity, you know, it's on some level, this is going to be something that you're being guided to open within yourself. I don't see, I know you said computers, I didn't see that at all. I didn't see, you know, computers. I feel like, yeah, I've been there, done that, I can do that. But, you know, there's a part of you that's like, you know, there's got to be something more. You know, I need to figure out what it is that's going to really, you know, make me get up in the morning with, you know, joy in my heart and, you know, feel like this is what life is worth living, you know, that part of it. So I feel like these winter months are going to be helping you to, you know, kind of explore. But definitely the creativity. You know, and I feel like it's something very obvious, that's something you do naturally, that you may not have even thought that you could ever do it for work, for life, so to speak. So I would take a look at, you know, things that you do, or what they're actually saying to me is ask your closest friends. Say, hey, guys, what do you think I'm good at? You know, because sometimes people see things easily than we see for ourselves. But there's definitely a creative element in whatever it is you're going to do, because you want to be inspired. You want to do something that's going to, you know, make you feel good and make others feel good that are receiving this gift that you have.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us on the show, and we are wrapping it up here because we're towards the end.
Well, thank you very much. You guys have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. And I wish to thank my co-hosts and our executive producer, Doug, as always, for being so supportive. And next week's show will be anchored by Maureen. What can we look forward to next week, Maureen?
Well, many doctors have mislabeled a lot of children, as we all know, ADD, ADHD, or suggested their behavior, they have behavioral difficulties. And more than half the time, these doctors are wrong, and the children of the now are now, and even us, when we were children, are not defective. They are differently functional, and we are doing ourselves and the world a great disservice by not acknowledging these amazing children and their special gifts. So we're going to be exploring intuitive children with my guest, a wonderful woman, Dr. Drews, and she is a licensed child psychologist and parapsychologist. She's also connected with the Rhine Center, and she has written books and articles and so forth, and she also has done research through A&E on the shows, and has been featured on A&E and cable shows, Psychic Children in the Paranormal State. So that's what we have to look forward to, everyone. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank you for being with us tonight. We look forward to having with you again. And don't forget not next week. We know what's going to happen next week, thanks to Maureen. Don't forget to tell your friends about Psychic Access Talk Radio. And on January 13th, we're going to be having John Holland on as our guest. So I would like to ask each of you just to... Well, I'm not going to ask you, but that wraps it up. And we want to just say our goodbyes and thank you, everyone, for being here this evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.